Wait a minute, I'm on Geek Juice Media? Ah, screw this, I'm leaving.
Oh.
Geek Juice Radio.
No one to hear you, baby, just me.
He lives with his mom and his whale penis.
I'm the Juggernaut, bitch!
What you would imagine you would hear if you got raped while playing Tetris.
Visit our website at www.geekjuicemedia.com.
Welcome to another episode of Geek Juice Radio. With, like, everybody on vacation this week, I've had to get Josh here.
You have to put up with me again.
Yes, and we've got a guest with Scott.
We've got a guest with me? Who's with me?
You are the guest.
Well, according to your photo, you're a monkey.
Yes, I am.
We're wearing a headset.
Yes, I was.
Hey, I did the same job as you. I was the same monkey, so.
Yes, you are.
So, Alex, what are we talking about tonight?
Well, I decided, hey, we got Josh on, and he's usually pretty damn cynical, so let's talk cynicism. Or, why everything today sucks.
And see, this is why I thought it was good to have Scott on, because he's not nearly the cynic that I am.
Oh, in fact, that's Lost in the Static is mostly him just shutting down your cynicism.
That's what it is, really?
Yeah, it kind of is. I have no opinions of my own. I just disagree with you, and the world is a better place.
I can see that working, actually. I can. I guess, Scott, what are you cynical about when it comes to pop culture? Are you like me, where you just see, and I don't want to come across like Grandpa Simpson yelling at the clouds, but that the pop culture of today, I'm talking about the throwaway trash pop culture, the pop culture of today just doesn't have the same quality to it that the throwaway trash pop culture when we grew up has, or am I insane?
No, you're not insane. It's called the passage of time. Of course the pop culture of today doesn't have the same feel as the pop culture did when you and I were there. But when it comes to throwaway trashy pop culture, there is only one area where I have absolutely no faith. Music. I have absolutely no faith in today's actual pop music. Now there are a few artists out there that have kind of risen to the occasion, but otherwise, yeah, we're stuck with grandmothers singing Bieber to their granddaughters as if that's a good example.
Bieber is quite bad. As far as music though, like I hate dubstep, but every time I go to rant about it, that's not music, it's just noise. I remember my grandparents and parents said the same stuff about the stuff I listened to.
Well, to be fair, Scott's not impartial on this because he's the asshole that just went on Facebook today and was asking about a Lost in the Static theme done in dubstep. So, Murray, any response?
What I do now? The dubstep? You know, every genre of music does have its redeeming qualities, and dubstep does too. I mean, it does take, you gotta admit, it takes a certain amount of talent to slow down a beat like that and try and sing along to the electronic wub 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 deal. So there are a few artists in dubstep that really have stepped out of the genre's norm too in order to shine in a spotlight. And Alex Cross, for example.
Tyler Perry movie based off the James Patterson?
No. Maybe I am saying wrong.
Yeah, Alex Cross is a black detective in movies.
Yeah, no, I know what I'm thinking of, though. Hang on just a moment.
At least our trash pop culture, Scott, I mean, Scott and I are the same age. Alex, you're just slightly younger than us, but not a whole lot, so you more kind of have the same trash throwaway pop culture. I'm just thinking like the new wave crap from early MTV and that, it still has more meaning behind it than Bieber does, than Katy Perry does, than Lady Gaga does, than good God, Nicki Minaj does.
But I think it's just a matter of getting older because our parents said the same thing about our pop culture when we were young.
You know what? I think it's going to be a sad, sad statement on today's world when Nicki Minaj is not seen as a joke.
She's already not seen as a joke, I hate to tell you.
Yeah.
Not by anyone I've met. She's a joke straight through and through.
No, well, no, no. There's, okay. If you look at Nicki Minaj and her successful persona, Alex Clare, by the way, was the name I was looking for.
Okay, that doesn't make me think of Tyler Perry. Good.
Good. Alex Clare has stepped out of dubstep. He's actually really, really good. Anyway, Nicki Minaj, early Nicki Minaj, before she became successful, she was at one time being called a female Eminem, the way that she played with lyrics, the way that she played with actually working her words around and rhyming. She was incredibly good with words and with just lyrics in general. Then she had a little bit of success with her one joke, bad, rhymey hit, and suddenly the people that form the Nicki Minaj that we see went, wait a minute, it's the clown. It's the hip-hop clown that they're all interested in. And they created this persona of Nicki Minaj as we see her today. And even she admits that she's more of a joke of herself than she ever wanted. So if you actually dig into her first album, which was not successful, she is a good wordsmith.
And see, I won't give you that one. I've seen the way she even talks publicly. I don't think English is her first language. I don't think she has a first language.
What you're seeing is a created persona, like most pop stars today.
Well, then what about something like Justin Bieber? And Scott, you and I talked about this once on Ecstatic. You know, Justin Bieber, I really gave this kid 5 years in a total burnout. I don't know how he's still selling stadiums out. Hey, have I just completely misjudged the relatively short lifespan of, like when we were growing up, New Kids on the Block were hot. You could tell right then and there, these guys got two albums in it and then it's flare out.
Well, that's how most pop culture is. I'm actually, yes, surprised that he's still as relevant as he is.
That and, like I've said on Lost in the Static before, I will give Bieber this. He does have some talent with instruments. He can play, and he became an earworm in the hearts of that precious little preteen girl, somehow age group that as they grow up, he's kind of growing up with them. And, you know, oh, who's he with? Oh, what's he doing? Oh, they broke up. Oh, now I have a chance with Bieber now too, and blah, 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 you know. And it's just, he's got a lot of staying power, but I could kind of just look at this guy. He's not a flash in the pan artist. He's going to be with us for quite some time.
That makes my dick cry.
But Justin Bieber is from the same producer that's responsible for a lot of pop culture from the last year, Scooter Braun. He's the one that made Justin Bieber a star. He's the one that's responsible for finding that girl that sang Call Me Maybe. He's the one that's responsible for getting Gangnam Style on the radio.
These are all some of the most annoying things I've ever heard in my life.
Yes,
and I'm going to guess Scott has them all on his iPod.
No, actually. Carly Rae Jepsen, I'm not a huge fan of. Psy and his music. Gangnam Style is a totally different story in and of itself, and I'm not a big fan of Psy, and frankly, that song can now go bite it. Justin Bieber, no, I don't have any of him. I'm not a big fan of his. I'm not his demographic. So, but the producer, I gotta hand it to him, man. He knows what to find that gets stuck in pop culture.
Is it any different than that pedophile? And that's what he was from the 90s that did New Kids on the Block and Boys to Men and All for One and NSYNC. And they were basically all clones of one another. Did you remember that guy? That was all the same producer?
I wouldn't be surprised with how similar they were.
Because they were all clones of one another. Why does pop culture want clones? Why don't they want, you know, this band is really unique. Instead of everybody, we want more of this. How about we want this to jumpstart something else, a really cool movement down the line. It's no, this is popular, clone it now.
That's the way it's always been in history. You find a formula that works and you go with it. Now, the Scooter, the producer that Mr. Jowski mentioned.
Scooter Braun.
Thank you. Scooter Braun, you can't say that of him. You can't say that he's found, I mean, he found Carly Rae Jepsen, fun little innocent bit of girly rock. And then you find Psy with Gangnam Style, K-pop, which just does not hit here in the States. This one particular song did. And then Justin Bieber, which, okay, that's similar to the, I mean, it's, how do we put it? It's the ultimate white guy with the guitar.
Justin Bieber, though, he actually does have talent, because if you see the early YouTube videos he did before anybody found him, he actually did some impressive things, but he's become so reviled as pop culture goes. Well, there's the people that love him, all his believers, but then there's people like us that look back on the pop culture and go, dumb kids.
Well, Scott, do you remember 2-3 years ago when he played a serial killer on CSI and he was absolutely goddamn chilling on that?
Yeah, I'm not going to lie.
I'm not going to say the kid is a bad actor, because he was just chilling as a serial killer. I just don't think he has any musical talent. Well, then let's move off of music then. What about I'm stretching the term here as far as I can, literature? Like Cracked.com just came out with that very disturbing but truthful image that between 2008 and 2009, one of every 5 books sold was written by Stephanie Meyer. That hurts all of literature, doesn't it?
No, it only hurts one out of every 5 books. Who knows what the other 4 books were?
That's a disturbingly high number. It doesn't matter. That Twilight had worked its way. Because, see, Twilight is one of those things that maybe I just didn't notice it at first. It seemed like nobody had heard of Twilight, and then it was the biggest thing in the world. There didn't seem to be a build-up in there, or did I miss it, Scott?
There was kind of a build-up to Twilight, but it doesn't have to do with Twilight books. The same thing happened to me with, a few years ago. You remember when the Left Behind series was immensely popular? So, you know, I had never heard of it at all, and then suddenly everybody's like, you got to read this, you got to read this. Isn't that Christian literature? Not in any way. Yes, it is.
Yeah, pretty much almost in every way.
Twilight, yeah, it was a matter of nobody had heard of it, then everybody had heard of it with the coming of the first movie. Of course, I was the same way with Harry Potter. I didn't get into that series at all until the first movie came out. That's just been, to me, kind of how literature works. You don't hear about it, and then all of a sudden you hear about it everywhere.
As far as Twilight goes, what surprises me is that it had such a wide reach as it did. Because, like, when I was in middle school, everybody was reading R.L. Stine's books. But it stayed within its demographic. But Twilight,
not to make a vampire reference, it bled into the entire culture.
Yes, it did. And then there was that 50 Shades that spun off of it, and that's just awful.
Scott and I were recording a Lost in the Static earlier tonight, and I told him I really wish I could just punch you in the junk for having put her inner goddess into my mind.
Yeah, that book is... I was saying the other day that the only thing I hate worse than seeing a copy of 50 Shades of Grey is seeing a well-read copy of 50 Shades of Grey. Like, it's falling apart from being read so much.
I think it lasted as long as the batteries in the vibrator lasted from its reader.
Because everybody at my work, well, all the women at least, have been passing around the book, and it's falling apart at this point because everybody likes reading it.
I think it's harmless erotica. Frankly, it's light BDSM at best. I gotta admit, anything that kind of gets that into the mainstream and gets the idea of erotica into the mainstream, I gotta stand behind.
I see what you did there. Then what about, like, movies? Now, I know in my case, it's because I've grown more cynical and I'm an angry old bastard now. The two of you are probably going to be different. Why can I not enjoy a new movie anymore on the same level that I used to, the same quality of film when I was, say, 16? Why is it harder for me to enjoy a movie at 38 than it did at 16, even though taking into account the fact that, say, the movie is the same level of quality as the movie I would have loved at 16.
Well, it really depends on the movie, though. If you're watching a movie that's targeted towards 16-year-olds, if you're watching some PG-13 movie, yeah, it's not going to connect to you because you're no longer that teenager that it's made for.
No, that's not what I mean. I mean something like, even in my early 20s, I probably wouldn't have hated Transformers as much as I did. But I cannot, I mean, I despise Michael Bay. And I think that's more the cynicism of my life bleeding into that than anything else. Or do you disagree, Scott?
Frankly, I think you've just become an old cynical bastard that expects too much out of too many so few can deliver.
Is that wrong?
Yeah, it is in a way. I mean, I think you've grown so cynical in your old age that I don't think it's possible for you to enjoy anything the way you used to. I would have loved to have known a 16-year-old Josh just so I could compare and contrast the 16-year-old Josh versus the 38-year-old Josh. Because I can tell you, when I was 16, yeah, I liked the flashy, flashy, bang, bang. And I loved the pop culture of back then. And I could afford to go see a movie, which that's, you want to talk about cynical old guy coming out. That's me. I don't go to the movies anymore because I can't afford them. That's just me. I mean, the films themselves, there's some really, really good ones going out there. Django Unchained, one of the films that you have been the most vocal against, Josh, because of connection to the Djangos of the past. If you just had taken the Django off and called it Unchained, I think you would be just singing its praises until tomorrow, because it's a great, great little film. Even, you know, despite the fact that it's from Tarantino.
What about what's going to happen next year when the real Django makes a third sequel called Django Strikes Back and it stars Franco Nero? Is it cynicism of me to already be guessing that most of the pop culture is going to go, that ain't Django, he ain't black?
Well, he's also 71.
It's kind of sad that Jamie Foxx Django is the go-to Django now. And when real Django, played by Franco Nero, comes back next year, I have a feeling audiences aren't going to accept him because he's not Jamie Foxx Django.
And I hate to tell you this, Josh, but that's just a generational thing. I mean, we had, for instance, a lot of people today see what's-his-face as Anakin Skywalker.
Hayden Christensen?
That's the one. I mean, they see him as Darth Vader, and you and I know that we hear one person as Darth Vader and see another as Darth Vader, and that's who Darth Vader really is. That's who Anakin Skywalker really is, not this Hayden Christensen whiny little pissant. And that's just a generational thing, and that's just the way life is going to be. You get upset because you can't ever accept that.
It sickens me on a certain level. It's not so much, and I'm not trying to make this about me, but I feel like the universe, like I'm the only sane person left, and everyone else is going crazy around me.
Look at it this way. You're not the first person to feel that way. There's a bunch of people that get mad when the next generation don't really think of Sean Connery as the ideal James Bond.
At least you didn't say Roger Moore.
Nobody. Yeah. Roger Moore is the ideal Bond.
Nobody does.
No one's seen Inch On. Well, okay, then what about, like, Scott, you brought up going to the movies. I don't enjoy going, you know, leaving the quality of the film completely out of this, okay? Doesn't matter whether I'm going to see a good movie, a bad movie, or a total piece of garbage. Going to the movies is not as enjoyable anymore as it used to be. And I don't think that is due to my cynicism, because I want to go and enjoy this movie. I think the culture itself and the theaters themselves have changed so much that you can't enjoy a movie anymore. For one, why do they even put the please turn your cell phones off commercial before a movie anymore? I have not been to a movie in the last 5 years where a single person has turned their fucking cell phone off after that.
No, I will give you the fact that there is some cynicism to that, because I used to spend all my high school and through college every day at the movie theater. Nowadays, I don't go because I don't have the time, and the once every few months that I actually do go, I expect too much. I expect to have that same time that I did when I was younger, and I'm not going to. You know, it's too easy for me to get angry at the people on their cell phone when 15 years earlier, I didn't care that people talked.
I have discovered an amazing thing. I have discovered the budget cinema. What's amazing about the budget cinema is you get this beautifully split down the middle audience. You have the audience like me, who is there to watch the movie and to have a good time. And you have the audience, on the other hand, like you did back in the grindhouse days, the ones that come in off the street for a little air conditioning and are grateful to be able to afford some popcorn and stuff. Price doesn't get in the way like it does at big cinemas. And yeah, somebody pointed out, they go, you know, well, you're not going to get the digital projection with the 3D effects and the super IMAX film and the whole Dolby surround sound. And I'm like, you know what? I didn't growing up. This stereo sound and the meager surround sound that was in the theater was good enough. This is good enough. Just like watching it at home, my home stereo surround sound, good enough. And I can enjoy the film with people that actually are there to enjoy the film. I don't know what the difference is between a budget audience versus a standard movie theater audience, but it tends to be older, so there aren't quite so many teenagers, and it tends to be a whole lot calmer. So I think it depends on where I go. If you go to the slimy, awful, horrible budget theater that really is a trash house, then yeah, you're going to get stuck with sticky shoes, and that may not be gum. If you go to the...
Are you talking about that one over by where that Sonic used to be?
Yes, I am.
Scott and I live in the same area. I know which theater he's talking about.
But if you go to the decent budget theater that's not too far from downtown, actually, and then there's an even better budget theater in De Pere where you can go and it really is an art house movie theater where you can go and get a decent dinner and watch a movie, too. You know, it depends on where you go. Your viewing is going to be different. And I don't know. There's something about the big multiplexes with the digital screen and the super surround and the tons of teenagers that, yeah, they just annoy me. But luckily, there are these little places where we can go in and still enjoy film for film.
I've also found going to a movie on a weekday matinee and not during its first week of release, you kind of avoid a lot of the crowd that we don't like, the teenagers and whatnot.
Well, but I think there's something we all need to address here, and that is that people, and I mean the other people that you go, that you're there with, don't care. Like the thing that no one turns their damn cell phone off in a movie theater anymore. What happened? I mean, the theaters don't even enforce that anymore. There are people texting constantly. You know, you just see all these little blinking green lights all over in the theater that distract you. And it's like, okay, is the entire world, does it revolve around each and every one of you? Are you so goddamn self-centered that what other people want or your imposition upon them means nothing because you need to get that text now?
Well, I think you're just allowing yourself to get upset about it. You're allowing yourself to be distracted by it. That it is actually relatively easy to ignore, unless they're sitting right next to you.
I think that's a reflection on today's culture, the now communication. It is not that easy to ignore. I actually went to the movie theater once, and I was there with a friend who kept pulling out his cell phone during the movie theater and texting and turning on a bright screen. And because he was my friend, I did the right thing. I pulled the phone out of his hands and I threw it into the aisle and I said, you can go get it after the movie. And I got applauded. Now, even with, you know, screens down and I see kids texting during movies, And I just looked down at him, and I'm like, you just wasted your money. And that's a shame. And that's why I don't go to the theaters that allow that, that don't enforce things. That's why, yeah, going to the theater on a weekday afternoon, unless it's a kid's film. God forbid you do that after school hour thing. But yeah, when you go makes a big difference. And I'm not as excited as Josh is about it, but I kind of got to side with him on this one.
Well, because like when I went and saw Predators, this is back when I worked at Channel 26, I went on my lunch hour with a coworker, and this guy sitting three or four rows or seats down from us in the same row kept texting. And he, you know, it was one of those where he had all the sounds on. So it was constantly going, boom, doom, boom, doom, you know, every time he'd get a text. And at one point I turned to Pat, the person I was sitting with, and I said, he gets one more goddamn text and you're going to be bailing me out of jail. The guy looks at me and he goes, try it. You aren't man enough. And it was almost like, it was like the guy going, I'm going to see how far I can push these people before somebody swings at me. And that's the kind of lack of civility I'm talking about that we no longer have today. That's not my cynicism, Alex. That's we don't care. No one cares about anyone else anymore.
We have forgotten one great place to go see movies yet. And
drive-in theaters?
Exactly. It's a dying theater, but man, do I love the drive-in.
Because I was going to bring that up too. There's still a drive-in where I live, and that's the only time I really do see movies, because people can use their phones and that doesn't bother you. They're over in their car. You don't see the light of it or anything.
You guys get my point that this one is not me overreacting or being an old man yelling at the clouds. This is just a symptom of how we have all become so disconnected in society that it's strange how we're so interconnected now, we become more disconnected.
And the fact that you see it that way is a beautiful little piece of evidence that you've become an old, cynical man.
But I just said I did, you son of a bitch!
But yeah, there is that whole self-entitlement mindset, but I think that comes with being a teenager, because all teenagers have that me state of mind. And see, it's like, just they see, have Alex, this like, technology like, to express that.
But see, Alex, like Scott and I, when we go out somewhere, when we're going out to dinner after we record a Lost in the Static or something, we'll hold the door open for somebody else. We'll help somebody if they're slipping on the ice. Scott and I have done this. And you see other people just walk past them like, look at, they fell.
Or,
remember that, Scott, when we saw those people outside Noodles and Company slip on the ice? And, you know, you and I were kind of like, hey, we should help. And these other people are like, oh, look at the funny man fall down.
Or worse yet, remember, I believe it was outside of Fazoli's when we saw, as an old woman was starting to fall, the kids pulled out their cell phones and wanted to film it.
Yeah. This was a future YouTube video. That's the culture we're living in, and it sickens me, Jowski.
Yeah, I don't blame you. That is rather sickening. I know the other day, I slipped on the ice in front of a convenience store. The guy standing there started screaming about how him and I needed to sue the convenience store, and that how we were going to make all this money.
Are you kidding?
No.
But then, okay, when it comes to, like, pop culture, don't you start to see this rudeness kind of working its way in? Something I thought went away by the 1970s, and that was like that candid camera type nonsense that you've got. I mean, True TV, MTV, TLC, all these channels have one of those joke shows where it's, let's find some rube, totally play a prank on him, and humiliate him in public. That's funny, right?
That's the whole thing with humor in general nowadays, though, is the let's make fun of others. Like, every movie that comes out is a let's make fun of this genre, let's make fun of this. Not every movie, I don't mean to be an absolutist like Josh, but there's a good deal of it.
There's plenty of that out there, and there's plenty of the prank shows and stuff like that out there, and I find them annoying, but, man, that's why I almost have to hand it to Jackass. These were guys being stupid and hurting themselves and their little group, and that was it.
They pulled those pranks on innocent people where they would like go into the into the hardware section of the Shopko and start shitting in the fake toilets and watch everyone's reactions. That's the same kind of crap I'm talking about.
Yeah, but who was the butt of that joke? Was it the person disgusted that, oh my god, that guy is taking a dump in the aisle, or was it the guy that was taking a dump in the aisle?
A little of both, I think. So, Scott, I can't give you Jackass there.
I can, because most of with Jackass, yeah, they did do their dumb stunts, but when they interacted with the rest of the world, they were usually the butt of the joke, that everybody else was reacting in a normal way to this crazy person.
What are some cynical pop culture things that you either can blame on society or you just realized you got old?
Well, you brought up reality TV earlier, and the most popular, lowest common denominator reality TV, like that Honey Boo Boo, I cannot stand.
Oh, God, Scott, tell me about Sketty.
I know what Sketty is.
Do you? I didn't until Scott told me, and now I can't get it out of my head. Asshole.
Everyone else in my house watches that show, and it gets on my nerves.
I'll be honest, I have never seen an episode. Dawn and I have never seen an episode of Honey Boo Boo, and we never will. I didn't watch the show that it's a spinoff of, that, what was it, Toddlers and Tiaras, or as I call it, Pedophile TV. I didn't watch or support that. I don't watch or support shows like Dance Moms. I don't watch or support shows that exploit children, and especially children in sexuality, and to a certain small number of this population, Honey Boo Boo is all about children and the sexuality. And I can't stand it. And I can't stand that blimp of a mother that she has.
Oh, Jabba.
I know this stuff because friends of mine are just like, this is hilarious. You have to see this. I have yet to see anything funny.
So then let me ask you then, Scott. Since you haven't seen it, you know about it because it leached its way into pop culture. That's bad, right?
No, it's not bad that something leaked its way into pop culture, especially something that I don't like. I mean, that's just the nature of pop culture. I'm going to see plenty of things that I don't like, but I know about it because I have friends and relatives that think it's the greatest thing on the face of the earth. I don't get it. Maybe I have gotten old, but at the same time, my dad loves watching the show, and he's, you know, considerably older than I am, as anybody would hope.
I would hope your dad's older than you. Yeah.
You know, but he loves the show, and he loves the idiots on TV, and he is neither unintelligent nor uneducated nor a young person out today. He's older. He's a doctor. He's obviously well-educated. He's a chief of surgery at a VA hospital, and even his wife is like, why do you watch this show? And he's like, I don't know. It sucks me in.
The thing I was going to say about reality TV and Honey Boo Boo and the Kardashians and all them is that they're not, I don't find them to be vile or reprehensible people. They're just normal people doing the normal stuff that they do. It's just, why does that become celebrity?
Because we've become a culture of voyeurs. We've become a culture of slack-jawed yokels laughing at the monkeys in the cage.
Yeah, because once upon a time, the people that became celebrities and, you know, the ones that we idolized were the people that had accomplished stuff. But we have reality TV where we make idols out of people that have accomplished nothing.
The way Bill Maher put it pretty perfectly, where he said, oh, you're a war hero and you're trying to cure cancer? You don't need your own TV show. Call me back when you own a pawn shop.
Yeah, those pawn shop shows.
But I mean, you get my point that we don't want something that's going to challenge us. We want ultra fake reality TV. That's the other thing. Scott, I was going to talk about this with you on Lost in Static, and we ran out of time. When we were talking about The Dumb, which you guys will hear in a couple of weeks when that episode airs, I think The Dumb is how many people think even a modicum of reality TV is real. Don't you?
It's a deceiving of America that's been going on for years. And, I mean, you know, it started out kind of entertaining. Let's look at Job TV, or as you may call it, the History Channel. And I call it Job TV now because that's
what it is.
However, it started out with a show like Dirty Jobs. That was entertaining to me because it was jobs that people didn't do, and you got a lot during the show, and you had Mike Rowe investigating these things. Now we have shows like Axemen, where it's this ultra dangerous job, but they only focus on the one thing. Or the job about the gold miners, where they're constantly talking about the honey pit, or you know, the glory pit, the glory hole. That was it. They're constantly talking about the glory hole, and it's a joke. And I know people. Josh, you and I worked at a station with somebody that used to go up to Alaska in the summer and do the fishing job. And she knew most of the guys on that stupid crab fishing show. Deadliest Catch.
Okay, that's the one I was thinking of, but I couldn't think of the title.
It's not nearly as bad as it looks on TV. That's glorious editing. Yes, it's difficult. Yes, it's a hard job. Yeah, it's real labor, and it's no, you know, you don't go up there for fun. I don't see what the big deal is.
Well, but I think a lot of people would be shocked to find out that, like Pawn Stars, for instance, that there is a producer with an earpiece and a microphone sitting under the table. You know, when they're heckling over the deal, he's talking to both the quote-unquote seller and the pawn people, like, heckle a little bit more, go up $100, go down $100. And he's watching everything, you know, live on a monitor to try and get the best reactions out of them. It's as scripted as any, like, cop show.
Oh, and the producers find people to come in and sell this stuff.
Yeah, it's...
it's not just this person happened to walk in with, you know, Ben Franklin's diary.
Yeah, it's, you know, but people think this stuff is real. Even the ones that maybe even begin as real, like Bar Rescue. Yes, these are real bars. That's about the extent of the real in something like that.
Well, no, they actually, like Bar Rescue or Kitchen Nightmares, they actually are a failing business. That,
well, yeah, but all of but all the conflict, and you know Chef Ramsay going bleh, 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 oh, the food is absolutely beep 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 horrible. All of that is scripted. It's shot from multiple angles with multiple takes. This is not reality, people. Neither they is edited. Honey Bong Bong. Honey Bong Bong is not real either.
Boo-boo.
I know it. Never mind.
But no, another issue that was reality TV is, okay, you've got parents concerned about what their kids are watching and how it influences them, but reality TV has influenced a lot of adults in the same negative fashion. For example, there's that Storage Wars.
Show's fake all through and through. They've been caught.
Yeah, but there's people that didn't know it was fake, and they figured, hey, this is a legitimate business. So they would go down to storage lot auctions and spend what little money they had on whole storage lots of garbage. Because people don't keep valuable stuff in storage unit.
You know what, Scott? They had one of those by us recently. Did you see that one advertised? They had one of those like storage auction things, and I wanted to go down, not to bid, to see how many people would go down to bid on those.
Yeah, it was insanely popular, too. There were a lot of people going down there at that one. And the only reason I know that is because I had a job nearby. So luckily I got to see it. And it was insane. It can be detrimental, but at the same time, a fool and their money are soon parted. That's the nature of us.
Now, this is coming from the collector in me. I'm glad nobody has really latched onto a VHS collecting show yet, because I can only imagine all these great rare VHS tapes I find at Goodwill that would be scooped up by some guy going, this is worth $100! Yeah, buddy!
Yeah,
and then I'd miss out on it, and that would hurt me. And this is all about me, because I'm part of this culture, right?
It's that reality TV has given people a skewed perspective of reality.
Did you either of you guys ever see that commercial for those sunglasses that are supposed to be so clear? It says, see everyday life in HD. Let that sink in, what I just said, for a minute, guys.
Yeah, I've seen those.
You know, you've seen those, Scott?
Oh, I've seen them. I know exactly what you're talking about. You know what they are? Do you remember back in the 80s, Josh, blue blockers?
Yes, I remember those.
Yeah, I do, actually.
Well, that's precisely what these are with a retooled slogan. They're the same thing.
But it, to me, it's not what the product is. It's how it's sold. See everyday life in HD. Isn't that how you see life anyway? I mean, it's like they're selling you something not only that you don't need and can't use, but that doesn't exist. They're selling you the word you always like to use, Scott, a widget.
I think, and I'll hand it to the marketers. I think anyone who falls for that deserves what they get.
I think if you...
No, that's... You call me cynical, Scott?
No, I don't think that's cynical. That's just being a bastard.
Kind of the same thing, isn't it?
I think if you don't see the world in HD, you probably have glaucoma and sunglasses aren't going to help.
But, I mean, that's the... I think... I'm not trying to say there were never dumb people, there were never rubes, there were never yokels. I somehow think we are living in a society today that is less intelligent and less capable, when with something like the internet and Google and whatnot, it should be the opposite. Yet instead of Googling science, things on science lessons, we're Googling her. I heard Lady Gaga got a penis. Let's look at this video. Why are we not using Google for good things?
Why are we not using Google for purposes of good? I think we are. I think that there have always been dumb people. There always have been marks. There always have been people that will fall for con men. And that's kind of what marketers are. They're professional con men. There are always going to be idiots out there that fall for it. There is always also going to be, I'm sorry, Jowski, there is also always going to be a segment of society that watches Vince, doesn't love his nuts, and Googles a little bit of with some intelligence and figures out the truth. That's why Snopes exists, because somebody had to create it.
There's always been people taking advantage like that. Like there was P.T. Barnum has that there's a sucker born every minute. And beforehand,
snake oil
there were,
salesman. Well, you heard
there were
about
snake oil salesman
well,
before
just,
him.
You heard about the story of the Great Egress, right?
Oh, yes. Come see the Great Egress.
Egress means exit. So people would pay their money, get in, and immediately get led out of the circus and then have to pay to get back in. It was brilliant, but you fell for it if you didn't know what egress meant. He was playing on the fact that you're all stupid.
And I bet they, you know, some of them were, oh, I get the joke now. That was pretty funny. But nowadays you'd have people, everyone wants to sue.
Well, there's that, yeah. But I mean, how far off, this is both intelligence and civility. How far off are we from idiocracy?
We're closer than I like, but I still think we're a ways away.
Our lifetime, you think, Scott?
No.
The next generation will be more worried than we are, but we're not quite there yet. But we're on the track.
I'll be dead by then. Screw them.
Do you know what the really sick thing is? I think Mountain Dew Camacho would have a chance running in the next election too.
I don't think so. I think people still, when it comes to politics, respect, you know, a certain point of view on things.
Oh, that's how Romney got 30% of the vote, huh? Because people still respect a certain point of view on things?
That's why Romney only got 30% of the vote.
I didn't think he should have gotten that much. The fact that he got as much as he did scared the hell out of me. The fact that Scott Walker won his re-election, Scott, that scared the hell out of me.
Yeah, I've kind of lost faith in Wisconsin at that point. We're supposedly such a liberal state. Yeesh.
I mean, I called it on what the fuck. I called it. There's no way he will ever win this re-election. He won by a landslide. Oh, Jesus, did I severely overestimate the intelligence of the Wisconsin public, huh? So, and that to me, I don't know if that's cynicism, Jowski. I don't know if, well, obviously I have become more cynical. I think the world did around me to the point where I'm still to the same even place that I was.
I hear a lot of people nowadays, you know, all the political stuff that, oh, our politicians are worse today than they've ever been. And that's why I like watching Mr. Smith Goes to Washington, because the same politicians we have now are the same ones we had back then.
See, I don't think the politicians today are any worse than they were in the past. I think we've forgotten all but the great politicians of the past. We've forgotten, you know, we forget the Tylers and the Chester A. Arthurs, and we remember the Lincolns and the Washingtons.
But we also remember all the people that do something really awful. We don't remember the governors that maybe saved their state from going bankrupt. We don't remember the mayors who stop an armed robbery outside of a fair. Remember when that happened in Milwaukee, Scott? You know, we don't remember them. We remember the ones that got their dick stuck in a teenage boy. We remember the ones that were caught taking bribes. We remember the bad. We don't remember the good.
Exactly. And, like, I saw today a billboard about, like, impeach Obama. Which, yeah, I don't quite agree with Obama, but I saw the same signs all 8 years Bush was in office. The same signs when Clinton was in office.
The same signs when Reagan was in office. Or Bush won.
Yeah, it's just, people forget that Bush is remembered for being, oh, he was our stupidest president. He was so stupid. He did all these stupid things.
Well, he did.
Well, yeah, his administration did, but to call Bush stupid, I mean, he graduated from Yale and Harvard.
Okay, he graduated from Yale and Harvard because of his last name and his bank account. This is the same George Bush that went to Vietnam, but because of his name was able to get a cushy position where he never once had to actually see combat, and then somehow tried to equate himself to John Kerry, an actual war veteran who had to shoot and kill people and was shot at. George Bush never spent an honest day in his entire life, so don't you dare equate him to a real politician.
All I'm saying is that people remember him as being stupid. And yes, he did there was some stuff that went
on during his
8 years.
You're going to be able to put food on your family.
I don't want to talk politics. I'm just saying that people choose to remember how they want to remember. And they only remember the negative.
Jasky, I'm sorry. I got to go with Josh on this one. I really do. And I agree with you that, yes, it's all been done before. We had the impeach Reagan movement. We had the impeach Clinton movement, a little bit more of a movement than most other presidents. We had the impeach Bush. We have the impeach Obama movement. And whoever wins after, there's going to be a bunch of people that want to impeach him for, or her, to be fair, for whatever reason. This is just another political bit that, yeah, it's been done before. But when it comes to Bush, no, even when family members of mine that are just dyed-in-the-wool conservative Republicans look at Bush and go, how did he stay in office? He is the biggest idiot and the worst representation of my beliefs and my party that I have seen in years.
Scott, we didn't start the fire. It was always burning as the world's been turning.
We do have to wrap up. Scott, where can people find you?
They can find me in Green Bay. No, you can find me on Facebook at facebook.com/SaterScotty. Or if you want, you can just listen into Lost in the Static on Jackalope. I also have this other little radio project called Another Pagan Podcast. Just search it up on iTunes if you want to hear some fun that my wife and our friend Teresa and I do.
You know where you can find me. On this, on Geek Juice Media, on my other 900 shows, the new shows I've got coming. I'm everywhere. I am in your head.
And as for me, well, geekjuicemedia.com, where you can listen to this podcast.
Good night, everybody. I have a cat trying to steal my cell phone right now.
Yes, next week we get our regular cast back and talk about overrated, underrated video games.
Wait a minute, I'm on Geek Juice Media? Ah, screw this, I'm leaving.